Welcome everyone you are listening to and perhaps watching Calling the Audible. I'm your host, Pease De La Reese, and I'm joined in studio by friend and colleague, Terry Tam. For those of you who don't know, he was a waiter in a Thailandese restaurant, was kidnapped, was sold in the black market, and we rescued him from the sheer goodness of Robert Campana to work for less wages than the Thailandese restaurant.
I still have PTSD.
Yeah.
Rumor has it the God of War video game series is based off of his life. Yeah. Loosely based, but...
Very loose. I mean, you can't base him too closely because there's legal issues. Matt Damon gets involved. And, of course, our own ugly version of Mark Wahlberg, the Eagle on Mission Control. To be fair, though, we're all ugly versions of better-looking people, right?
No, I'm better-looking versions of ugly people.
I was at the grocery store near my house, and the cashier's like, "You know, you look like Matt Damon." I was like, "No, I look like Mark Wahlberg." And she's like, "Oh yeah,
that guy."
No, it wasn't Mark Wahlberg or Matt Damon. It was the Matt Damon puppet in Team America.
Matt Damon.
Oh yeah. Do you guys know the story of the puppet?
Yeah.
So they ordered the puppet. They had like a regular script for him and everything. But when the puppet arrived, he just looked like he had a mental deficiency, and so they rewrote his part to be mentally deficient.
That's Matt Damon.
Speaking of mentally deficient, Simon Dagenet's lightweight. They took on, I was there for the beginning of the game, they took on STL.
Mm-hmm.
And my God, when they don't have Corey Kennedy and Justin Blanchard, this goes from being, you know, a struggling but productive offense to... And like the worst is like, so you, if you've played against Simo or played with Simo, you know the parts of the field he likes to attack, certain parts
corners
of the field.
Not right bench.
When he runs the post corners, when
not
he runs
right
the corners.
Bench.
When he throws the hook to the outside on first down.
Yeah.
And the thing is, for years,
it's weird, you know the offense. We couldn't figure it out.
Really?
I mean, we did, but we just couldn't do anything about
yeah
it.
Well, in his defense, we like to make fun of him, but he is pretty good at executing, despite the fact that everyone knows what he does. But
it's true.
He also surrounds himself with great athletes. In this game, a couple of the athletes missing and didn't have the firepower that STL had. Looking at STL, the STL side of things, Terry, how do you think they slot into Division I action?
I think they're top two in this out of the tier, I guess.
The second half of tier two.
The second half of tier two, yeah, because you have the... I think they're better than Conspiracy. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that overall they have a lot more weapons. Paulo Pierre is a big help. I think he helps a lot with that team.
Four touchdowns this game.
Exactly. And he really commands a lot of attention, Paulo Pierre. And what that does, that opens up everybody else. That opens up Theo. That'll open up... I don't think Jamie's playing this year.
He's been in and out, I think,
yeah, right?
I don't know if he's a full-time member, but he was there that game.
That opens up a guy like Zach Zwirn, who's always overlooked. And you know what? And that's what their recipe is this year, and it's been working so far. I think STL is one of the better teams in the division.
We shift our focus into Division 4. Tier 4.
Tier 4.
Terry, you told me you studied a lot of these teams this week. Yeah. So I was curious, where do you want to start looking at Tier 4?
When it comes to Tier 4, I mean, it's tough to really isolate. I think Jean-Guy with the most experienced team in that division. But overall, honestly, it's very top heavy. You have the new guys coming in.
Like us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, top heavy. We're muffin tops. It's a muffin top kind of division.
Yeah,
you know what I
exactly
mean? Overall, I mean, you look at Jean-Guy, obviously they're undefeated, so you look at them as being one of the best teams. I was looking at the ratings, and a guy like Simon Laporte, I thought he would have a higher rating than that. I was wondering how they fit into tier four. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? For a team like them, they should have been the tier three. Experienced team, a guy like Chartrand on their team too. But overall, I think Jean-Guy is the best team. Trojans, honestly, a lot better than what I thought they'd be when I looked at the roster. Overall, looking at what they've done so far this year, being able to put up the amount of points they have is freaky.
I've actually watched a lot of Trojans games this season, and to be honest, it's interesting because they have good athletes and guys who don't fully know what to do, but there's like parts of concepts that are there and they execute. They seem to be, and for those who haven't seen the website in the last hour or so, I posted an article earlier where we went over sort of the teams that are in the worst position moving forward, and teams that should have tanked.
Yeah, exactly. Trojans is one of them, I think.
Trojans, but they're starting to the third spot, so they're going to stay most likely in tier four.
Really? How's that? Oh, because they're in third place. Yeah. But they have 292 points for. It's like 90 points ahead of the next.
Yeah, they just got off to a rough start because they're new and not knowing the league. And you have Zhangyi and Bruins, who are sort of the cream of the cream of the division. And you talked about Simon Laporte and his role in Zhangyi. Terry hadn't played for a couple of years, came back in the spring, struggled terribly.
Yeah,
Simon Laporte only really played lower divisions, and no offensive impact. So his rating is only on the defensive side. And even then, because of the multiplier for lower division teams that don't know, when we calculate your rating.
Based on the lowest division that you played. Well, the highest division.
If you only play Division 5 and 6, you'll never get up to like a 90 rating necessarily. So all these things to consider for those teams. How do you think Zhangyi will do? I feel it would be an early round exit, as I stipulated in my article. How do you feel about their chances moving forward in Tier 2?
You know what? I mean, they're not that they're much of an organized bunch. They're kind of like a cheaper version of the Dans were before, you know, when they had the Danny McPhees and those guys. They're a cheaper version of that, where it's kind of like you run pass. And it's what I mean by run pass. I mean, the quarterback running and just dumping the ball off. No real deep threats, things like that. So I think they can squeak through one game, and depends on who they face in the finals. I'm going to see it's a toss up.
Very matchup dependent.
Yeah, exactly, with them. Because they're not the most athletic guys. They have a lot of speed. But when I look at that team, Simon Laporte has to be the one to step up overall.
Well, he definitely controls the pace of that defense. We see that the defense runs completely through him. So I've played against him. He's a very good rusher. He plays far beyond his rating. I've played against high division rushers that aren't nearly as good as Simon Laporte. So if you haven't played against him, you don't know him necessarily. But definitely, he is what allows their defense to take the chances they take. In Tier 3, we look at X-Men, who've had the most unbalanced season, 3-4. At one point, X-Men were a stalwart for consistency. Then they came, in more recent seasons, they've been a team that was either dominant or couldn't get a win. And now they're like inconsistent from week to week.
Man, X-Men are the one of those teams that's like, okay, how good are they?
Yeah, we don't know.
You never know how good they are. Wade Williams has taken a few seasons off. Gautama's taken a few seasons off. Kevin Bustani's always been there. Gautama's won quarterback of the year a couple times, well, in lower divisions. Wade Williams, we always say, me and Jim always say that he's one of like the unsung heroes of FPF. You know, he's been in the league forever, but he's never really gotten the respect he deserved. And it's weird. They're a good team, and they just can't get it done. They always play to the level of their opponent. Mm-hmm. Always, always. If the team's good, they'll play well. They might not win. If the team's bad, they'll play ass. Like, that's pretty much what happens with X-Men. It's a little frustrating because they're a good group of guys, and you know, you want to see them succeed. And overall, I mean, they're a good team, and you want to see them succeed, but they're just one of those Jeff Fisher teams, 8-8 all the time.
I was going to say, so Eagle, you can't sympathize with this because you're a Packers fan, and Aaron Rodgers is one of, if not the most, he's to me the most talented person I've ever seen play the quarterback position, regardless of whether or not he has all the accolades.
You haven't seen Malik Henry, have you?
Not as yet.
Last on the show, Last Chance U? I'm sure some people know.
Yeah. I don't
know. No? All right.
my television schedule's already pretty full.
It's Netflix.
And filling up with more and more sports as time is going on. An announcement from myself and Terry and Mo Khan, who filled in for us last week. Mo and GM, thank you for that, for you guys filling in last week. But that announcement will come a little bit later as we have some more information coming forward. Eagle being involved with that project as well.
Say it's soon.
Soon.
Soonish.
Trademarked.
I feel like, you know, we said, Eagle, you don't understand the struggle. But so, like we ask in the NFL, is Dak Prescott good? Is Ryan Tannehill good? Is Swaminathan good? Like, you know, but like, it's those are guys who, if we look at the NFL
context.
Is
Andy Dalton good?
But is Andy Dalton, like, so like, there's this whole.
No,
like,
he's not Andy Dalton.
There's this whole class of guys in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Who were never sure. How are they being carried by their defense, by their coaching, by their offense, by their offensive line? And then, like, so similar, you don't have all these features in FPF, but like, so is he good? Is he good as compared to the competition? Is he good because of guys like Kevin Bustani and Wade Williams and his team?
Well, then again, if you think about it, he's won a championship without those guys.
In Division 6, though.
Yes.
So that plays to, is he good against a certain level of competition? He's the reason, by the way, we have a quarterback cap in FPF.
One of the reasons, yeah. Him and Sammy Feeder, too.
Yeah.
Well, listen, he put up 44 points against EZW, so, I mean, there's something there. You know what I mean? To put 44 points in FPF is a big, is a lot of scores, and to put it up against a team like EZW, is impressive enough as it is. So he's got it. He's won a championship Division 6 regardless. That talent, there's a reason why we have a cap system. It's because of that talent pool, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to give him respect where it comes. But he, overall, I think that they're just disappointing because I feel like they should be a lot higher than what they are. Kevin Bustani does not belong in Tier 3. Kevin Bustani is a player. David Myron does not belong in Tier 3. Wade Williams too, you know. So overall, they fit because of the way they've been playing. But overall, individually, they shouldn't.
Do they make him better, or
no? The whole team, they're all built the same way. Mm-hmm. They're all built the same way to the point where they're there to have fun. They're kind of like lightweight, except lightweight's a lot more talented.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. They're a lot more athletic. They're a lot faster. Where lightweight is there to just to play. They don't give a shit what happens, and I don't think X-Men do either, and it's cool. I mean, you, that's great. That, it's a recreational sport.
And right, so. It's mentioned in my article. Twice this season, Guatma Swaminathan left the game in frustration.
Oh, there you go.
And he understands the games well. Like, he also coached the junior and had success with his team.
No, very smart.
Yeah, but there's a lot of guys, one in this room was a very good FPF junior coach, not a very good quarterback, understanding the situation.
Right, but this is one of those situations where if you look at the Div 6 record, right, winning a championship, clearly it's not on like his receivers, it's on him at that point. And that's why we put that rule in. Then you look at this roster and you go, well, none of those guys are weak or replaceable to make this team better. So it's just a combination of all the ingredients that just doesn't add up to a successful recipe.
It's really tough to judge. Also, we'll call him Gout. When he hasn't scored more than 50 points in his 50 touchdowns in his career,
we call him Gout.
Yeah, Gout.
Gout.
The gout got me. Yeah. He hasn't scored thrown over 50. He's only played in lower divisions.
Over 50. That's 5 a game. That's 30 points.
But that's where we consider. I hate using the word elite, but that's where you consider the word elite for a quarterback. So he's always been an above average, if not average, quarterback, depending on where he was, which division he was playing in. So he's good. We know he's good. He can have great games, but he also has the worst games possible.
So, given that he's been irritable this season, would you say that saying this about him would make Gout more inflammable?
Inflamed. Whew. That was a lot. Whew. That was hard. You really dug deep into that.
I was the whole analysis you were doing. I was not paying attention. I was like, I need to. Before we get into the weekly Eagle, the Hell report about lockdown, looking at tier two, which result surprises you?
Are you playing
more
on lockdown this year?
I do.
No way.
Yeah. He abandoned Muncie Power to go back to lockdown.
Good choice.
Muncie Power is 5-3.
And what lockdown is
2-6.
Yeah, but you're having a great time, aren't you?
It's great.
Because you don't have to play with peas.
It's true. I've been doing a lot of yelling this season too. You guys are surprised. I got the inner Justin Blanchard's come out.
The inner Blanchard.
So, but the thing is, what's interesting, and I'll touch on some other teams here real quick, but one of the things that Eagle and I looked at today that was interesting was OSP is 5-3 with a -23-point differential. With the minus, what are you, Eagle?
We're -54. We're 2-6. And the thing we're looking
I would be 4-4
if we're 2 points.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We've lost 2 games by 1 extra point.
They're essentially the same teams, but one just keeps winning close games and losing blowouts. And the other one loses the close games and the blowouts. But other teams, I would look at some of the other teams here. Which score surprises you more? Les Flammes en Feu tying Mean Machine at 31-31, or Greendale Human Beings losing Junkyard Dogs 31-25?
Greendale Human Beings losing the Junkyard Dogs. Greendale Human Beings are the, I want to say, the Detroit Lions on week one this year. You know what I mean? Where you kind of think they're going to win, and then they lose to a team that they should be beating. I mean, Junkyard Dogs, given the respect they deserve, very good team. But Greendale Human Beings, they match up very well against teams like that. Aggressive teams, where they don't really know their style, you know, they jump routes very well. JYD does, but where GHB comes in, I think that that's a game where they match up extremely well. So I'm more surprised than that. Where Mean Machine and Flamand Fou, they match up well against each other, you know. So 31-31 tie. I mean, I see it that way. I like Golov as a quarterback. I think he's very capable.
He's thrown 18 interceptions.
Yeah, I know. That's why I watched the game against it was a couple weeks ago. I forgot who it was against, and they lost. And it was ugly to watch because when Golov came
SWAT
in.
SWAT?
Yeah, exactly, SWAT. Okay. And it was tough to watch because I think that Mean Machine's a lot better than SWAT is. Golov, to me, when he first came in, I was like, man, this guy could be a good quarterback. Maybe like, you know, Division 3 max, you know, with a few good receivers.
Oh, he's got a cannon of an arm.
Yeah, yeah.
Smart play calling.
Very smart play calling. But I think it's just not working, and I think it's because he fit a bunch of his friends that never played flag before. There's a few guys in there that I've never seen. So I think that's what's happening now is they don't really have the experience and the chemistry. But overall, I think Golov is very capable. It's just he's having a bad year. So honestly, it's tough for me to say, but I think that GHB is probably the best team in that division. They should be killing everybody.
One of the things that I've noticed about their defense is they play a lot of man and open tier 2.
GHB?
Yeah. No, not GHB.
Mean Machine. Yeah.
And when you play a lot of man in against the higher division teams,
you're gonna get some
seen tier 2, they're going to call pick plays. They're going to call plays that are designed to free up guys in man. And unless you're completely physically dominant over the other team, you're not going to be able to do that. And like we see this in Division 1 where there's absolutely elite athletes. And we see in the lower division where teams can dominate another team based on athleticism. But in Tier 2, I think they're seeing that kind of difficulty.
Can I throw another game in?
Are they ranked in Tier 2 now? If like the season ended today, they'd be in Tier 2?
Well, it's different the way it breaks down for different brackets and everything. Okay, so okay. We'll get to that later.
So we're gonna touch on that soon.
Another game from Tier 2 I want to kind of just mention because last week I was called crazy. I said that Voodoo was going to beat SWAT and that Isaiah Allard was going to be a non-factor on defense considering that he's a giant and Frank K is the opposite of a giant.
Yeah,
and Voodoo won.
He's a non-giant.
50-27. Isaiah Allard, 2 tackles, not even sacks, tackles.
I wonder if he even rushed.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I would assume so.
I would assume he rushed because he's a very
prior good to the game was talking about like he kept raving about how good a rusher Isaiah Allard was.
Yeah.
So I wasn't there for the game, but given that, I would assume the game plan was to have him rush, especially when you see the size of Frank K. Eagle, I want you to research what the opposite of a giant is, and you read the first thing because that's what you call Frank K. Whatever the answer is,
just don't call him old. Whatever it is, don't call the guy old.
I literally searched what is the opposite of a giant, and the first result is giant.
Frank is a giant. So the thing I will say, two torn Achilles, older than all of us in this room.
Yes,
me less so than some others. who else was there? The fact that he doesn't have the strongest arm, the fact that...
Is he older than Gio?
I think so, too. But, like, given all this, he's still a super productive quarterback at FPF. You know what I mean?
He'll have his games where it's like, he just blows it up, you know, like, where he doesn't
he
do it at all.
He can't chase from behind.
Yeah, that's it. It's a good point. Because he forced it, but he's got a good arm. I wish I looked like him at his age, you know what I mean? Like
all of us in this room wish we could throw the ball the way he does at his age, at any age.
But he's Frank K, man. He's one of my favorite guys in this league. He's a super nice guy. Everybody likes him, and he's a good quarterback. And I'm not surprised that Voodoo beat SWAT. SWAT are a disorganized team. They're not organized at all. They have a loose cannon at quarterback, and he's their captain. They rely on Sean Haney and Isaiah Lahr to do everything, basically. Gino is not even a shade of the quarterback he was when he was winning all those Division 1s and
I
making All-Stars and things
say,
like that.
He also won Division 1s when Division 1
when there was two
not,
divisions.
When it's not what we have
when
today.
Division 1 was Finest and then Division 3 teams. Yeah. You know what I mean? And Division 3 teams, like a mid-pack Division
and
3
Finest team. Hadn't found their footing yet.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, all respect to Gino, Hall of Famer, tout le kit, but... he's not what he was before. Where Carmine, well, just use the comparison because they're friends. Old. They've always played on the same team. Carmine's old. Carmine still is one of the better receivers in this league. I don't give a shit what anybody
says.
Even as a quarterback,
he's
too,
not
man.
Division 1 anymore.
He won in Division A and he still did pretty good. You know what I mean? And with guys that don't belong in Division A, where Gio, if you put him in that role, he wouldn't do that well. So you're relying on Sean Haney and Isaiah Lahr to do everything. If that's going to happen, Gino loses his mind. And that's basically what happened against Voodoo. I could put my left nut on the line for that. And the Voodoo organized team, Frank K, amazing. And he knows how to keep a lead. And they have very good players in that team. I love watching Voodoo play.
Yeah. They definitely are exciting. Eagle, the fuck?
1 point. Okay, so in case people are wondering what we're talking about. Yes. So Lockdown lost 25-24 to Diablos. So first off,
he lost to Frank.
Yeah, I know.
We both did. I love
Frank. Then again, yeah, a lot of us lost to Frank.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's the lowest number of points that Diablos have scored all year, which is wonderful.
Take it to the bank.
Super happy about that.
I'm happy that you didn't put him in a situation where he once again chooses himself as quarterback of the week.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How many times has he done it this
every
year?
Week?
No way.
It's kind of funny. Yeah, yeah. Check his articles. Frank, wait, honestly,
I've only read one article, but he's a good writer. I like the way he writes.
I will say I do love his articles. Yeah. Very analytical and very, very good articles, especially for guys for French is not their first language. He writes in a way that's easy to read.
Yeah, exactly.
And is enjoyable. That said, it's the funniest shit in the world.
He's the new James Floriani.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
No,
there's no cure for that. There's no coming back.
But yeah, it was actually just a good game. Like, everyone was having fun and everything. It was back and forth to a certain degree. I think, yeah, the first half was 12-7 or something.
There's
like
there's never any hostility when you play against Diablos.
Yeah.
They're all such nice guys. I love Wiseman, JD Jolly.
It's huge, like, tense game. You know how, like, a lot of me and my guys get during games and we're tripping, whatever. Literally had beers with them after the game.
Yeah, yeah.
at the bar down the street, you know what I mean? So they are good guys.
That usually happens in FPF, right? You'll be at the bar or you'll be at, like, Catalonia watching a basketball game or whatever after the games, and the team you just played against, you'll sit right next to you, you'll start talking about what happened, you know, and that's the best part about this league. And Diablos are one of those guys where nothing's ever going to happen on the field bad enough to the point where they're not going to like you or you're not going to like them. I love those guys.
Yeah.
Big fans.
Absolutely.
Lockdown, fuck them. Except for you. Is Pat Riot your quarterback?
Pat Riot is their quarterback.
Man, I miss when he used to wear the football pants.
Oh, yeah, those are the best. The compression shorts and everything, yeah. Oh, and nothing but those shorts.
Yeah.
Didn't Pat Riot go to, like, a Patriots quarterback camp, and then when he got there, realized it was him and a bunch of children?
That's exactly right. That's, so he signed up for...
It's one of my favorite things.
I happen to be an accomplice on this, because he's like, I signed this up, and I'm like, fucking great. All right, let's go. We drive down to Boston. We basically realize he signed us up for day camp.
Why would you sign up to a quarterback camp when you're, like, not in high school?
And we show up and we have, like, uniform, like, we have our FPF gear, right? And there's, like, 10-year-olds, and they come to us like, are you guys pros?
Yeah, Eagle, you're screaming pro. Yeah.
He's a podcast pro.
Yes.
We're all professionals here.
All of us, yeah.
Not me at all.
Not me. Not anymore.
I saw this score came up and surprised me. Hashtag list free Vinny. So just free Vinny.
No, we're hashtag free Vinny.
He lost that bet, though. I mean,
but the it was never on the line. I'm glad I'm here to talk about it.
Free Vinny lost to Juan to Keyport Lockstars.
Yes.
To me, Keyport Lockstars. I don't even know what to like.
They didn't have Rod this week.
Gambling on Keyport Lockstars this season, I would have lost money every week.
Yeah.
Because when I expected to win, they lose. When I expected to lose, they win.
They're that team, you know. What I mean, Jeff is a very good quarterback. I'm a big fan. I mean, well, he has to have the weapons, though, right? He has to have his guys that he relies on. Rod Mashdoub wasn't there. Raul wasn't there either. So those are two big pieces that they like to use. But you still had Ryan and Jad, and you still had, who am I thinking about on the other
Nick
side?
Pekelis.
Yeah, Theo and Nick. Nick is such a good player, man. Yeah. Nobody talks about him a lot.
Theo is more known. But yeah, Nick's of course. Also yeah.
Nick is very good, man. Like, fuck, I would take him on my team any day, you know? Yeah. He's a nice guy. He's aggressive. He'll talk shit on the field. I love the way he plays. Theo too, both of them, and honestly, I had fun playing against them. It was a really good team. They're really fun to play against. We were joking around, but they just couldn't get it done because they couldn't spread the ball as much as they like to, like they do with Rod. Ryan's not as fast as he used to be. He's still very fast. You know, Jad and Theo. You know, they kind of alter that role, that snapper to slot role. Where he was overthrowing Theo a lot. Theo was doing a lot of pose, deeps, and things like that. So I think that just the chemistry wasn't there. If Rod was there, I think it would be a completely different game. We got our first pick of the year, if that means anything. Yeah, Jordan Allard and I said before the game, I go, whoever gets a pick today, Milano's on me. And then, like, it was the second half, maybe, like, 3 minutes left in the game, and he threw a ball in the middle of the end zone, and Jordan came out of nowhere.
Does Jordan Allard even know what Milano's is?
He knows what it is. Yeah, he's been before. Yeah, we were talking about it
now.
He's talking about it all week. Honestly, we're 1-6, 1-7, I guess, whatever it is. And it's the funnest team I've ever played on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, they're good guys.
Yeah, all of us.
I it's funny.
Except for Sean. Fuck him.
Well, he's a bad person.
Yeah,
he's
horrible.
If I knew nine people, he'd be the tenth best person.
For sure.
He wanted to be on today,
but I told him no.
What's interesting? Why?
Is he just playing bad, like lower to his potential, or what's the problem?
You know what? I think it's a little. There's a little thing with me and him there. We don't really have the chemistry together. You know, the snaps aren't coming in the way he likes them, and some of them, honestly, there was literally three bad snaps. I know I eat shit a lot for that one against the Ghosts, but I rarely have a ball that goes low. It usually goes a little bit high, yeah. You know, or Hollowack is like, it's weird. It kept on hitting his feet. I've never done that before.
I put a ball in the stands once. So
there you go.
So, but I will say, as a snapper, especially when you're playing with quarterback that's not familiar.
Yeah.
Like these weird things about how they line up and distances. Yeah. And then like, once you miss a snap, we're all head cases. As snappers, we're all head cases. And it gets in our head.
Yeah, 100%.
And, like, I will not miss a snap for three seasons and then have a season where
it's like, bam, 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 bam.
You know, and it's just hard to explain. It's hard to
with
explain.
With Hollowack, I don't think I've ever hit it over his head. I mean, he jumps. He's a basketball player, so he'll jump and get it. But if it's a little bit too high, but I've never missed it over his head. And overall, I think the only game that we should have lost, that I'm pissed about losing, was the game against... the Chidiats. I forgot the whatever team they're called. Something in beers. No, that's no. We're playing them next week.
Dirty Dogs.
I was staring at you, Eagle.
I mean, very athletic.
I was like that other team, and I'm like, can you be a little bit more specific?
The Chidiats.
You lost to a lot of teams this year.
What I do like,
all of them but one so far.
What I do like, though, in all honesty, I can say I've played against all of your team a bunch. I've played against Sean Abram. I've played against Kenton Lowe. I've played against Jordan Lord. I've played against Vincent Ardone. And all of us have gotten in each other's faces at one point.
Yeah.
And like, but with none of these guys, is it a personal thing?
Yeah, yeah.
It's all of them understand. It's the game. It's
it what is you what do. It is, man. You know what I mean? It's man, I was yelling at
what the
the quarterback for Dirty Dogs. Why am I drawing him?
Yes.
Ryan L.
Ryan Lewandowski. I was saying, I was like, man, they have half a quarterback and one receiver. We're losing. And he's like, yeah, whatever. He's like talking shit back kind of thing. But it is what it is, man. It's going to happen. It's part of the game.
I do want to ask you a question. Yes, so, sir. You know, we make fun of Sean Abram. We're like, oh, he's the 11th best quarterback.
Yeah.
Do you consider him top 10 in the league?
Top 10? No, I don't consider him top 10 at all. I wouldn't. I would probably put Hollowack in top 10. If just top of my head now and not without having to think, I wouldn't put Sean top 10. Not that he's not top like 15 or whatever. But top 10 is—it's like to say just top 10, not having knowing the list is really tough. Sean's a very good quarterback.
Well, we got because we're looking at the ratings. We're gonna pull back the curtain a little bit.
Yeah, he told me what his rating was. Yeah. I don't know how he got the info.
Well,
doesn't fucking make
it's
sense.
It's not actually true. We're experimenting.
Oh, okay. Who gave it to him? Don't give him this shit.
It's not gonna be much lower. By the way.
No, we're gonna lose now because of that.
Yeah, probably.
Because right now we have him accidentally. Well, what would if the current model we have him ranked number 7?
Yeah.
And so I said we're gonna do whatever we can to make sure he ends up number 11.
That'd be funny. Yeah. No, but he's not top 10, and he's not top 7.
We went through the list of top 20, and like we're like, okay, you can move a guy. Like two or three spots down, two spots up. But like in the
90,
these are the top 20 quarterbacks of FPF.
He's top 20 quarterback. He's top 20.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can name 7 quarterbacks better than him right now.
Do it.
Lazara, Marco, Nado Pews, Wyatt, Rashdi, Lebeau.
Rashdi's not better.
I wouldn't
Sean.
Say Rashdi. I wouldn't say he's better anymore.
Hollowack, maybe not anymore.
I would say Hollowack's better.
Yeah, Hollowack, Dylan Taylor.
Dylan's close. They're similar.
Yeah, similar, you know, but Dylan Taylor.
But like, here's the thing: like, if to me,
Vinny,
yeah,
Sean's the third best quarterback on our team.
QB,
yeah,
Vinny's very good.
Sean's the third best quarterback.
Vinny is
Vinny's more athletic. I will agree.
Vinny's almost as good as Joey Taylor.
You know what? Joey Taylor better than Sean?
I set you up for that one.
Joey Taylor better than Sean? I mean, I don't know. Nah, I'm kidding. Top 10. I wouldn't put him top 10, but top 15. Like 15.
Braves beat #NR. I mean, #NR is a good team, but there's just
a Jeremy separation. Anderson. Jeremy Anderson making an excuse saying that he wasn't there and Corey Pecker wasn't there. Oh, okay. So they replaced Corey Pecker with Ryan Kastner, who I didn't mention, but he's top 5 for me in the NFPF. So it's like, what's the excuse there? You're losing Corey Pecker for a guy who played college football his entire life, and he played it for McGill for 5 years.
It's like college football his entire life.
Yeah, he's old. He's really smart.
But the thing is that there's just, to me, a division between the top teams.
Yeah.
And, like, no regard is to top. Me, the next, like
yeah.
of the second best grouping of teams.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Honestly.
That's not an insult, but and they're going to complain to me for sure.
No, but they're not.
It's not an insult to say.
You can't say the
fifth or sixth best team in the league.
They haven't won enough to say. They've lost against the Braves twice in the finals, and they lost. It's not just results.
Because sometimes you look at a result, and if the sample size is small enough,
yeah.
you know, the results don't necessarily reflect reality. But at the same time,
they need Theo.
At the same time, like you look at the games themselves. You look at the teams themselves, how they're constructed, and based on our knowledge of the game and the thousands of FPF games we've watched at this point, to me, there's just a different level of when you look at hashtag NR versus FPF All Stars or Braves and. To me, those are the two teams that are going to be playing. And I don't think anyone else has a chance at Tier 1. Do you think anyone else stands a chance at top six teams?
Top six?
Yeah.
I think NR needs a player like Theo. Mm-hmm. If they get that player like Theo, then yes, they are more than capable to compete in Division 1. Can they get that player? Or maybe they can get one of those fringe guys from Division 2 that doesn't play in Division 1. I don't know what Justin McClain is doing for Division 1. If that's an option, he's playing with FPS also this year. So I assume he's going to play with them in the winter. Somebody like that. Somebody like, Marco Bertoldi. Like guys who's never played it. Well, he played for Rainmakers as a rusher. Mm-hmm. Papich is coming back this week. I'm just saying them because I know he's coming back this year. So guys like that, I mean, not to compare them to Theo, but they need somebody like Theo. Theo helped them a lot this year in the spring when they made it to the finals.
I just want to remind everyone here that hashtag NR are currently 5-2, right? So they have one more game left. So they've lost to Braves, obviously, who are currently 1 seed. They've lost to FPF All-Stars, who are currently 2 seed. And next week they play STL, who are the 3 seed.
Yeah.
So
I think they'll beat STL.
I would say they're better than STL. Like, to
yeah, me, I think they'll beat STL.
You know, like... It's tough because these aren't like the regular teams from tier one from Division 1 necessarily, but like as constructed, like they hashtag NR might be as good as, let's say, Conspiracy, or I'm forgetting someone in the top six.
I didn't even say Rodmash Dubin quarterback.
Keyport Lockstars is a 6, Conspiracy is 5.
Yeah, so like maybe like that one's close. Mm-hmm. I think NR just by virtue of playing together so long and having the. Like having that experience to draw from versus Conspiracy, that's just a bunch of mercenaries put together, that helps them succeed. But I think they're better than STL, but I just don't think to that top two kind of thing. You know,
are they better with STL with or without Theo? Like, if you take Theo,
well, that makes a difference for
STL, on STL. Right? If you take Theo on NR, I think they're better than STL. You know what I mean? And let's say you add Jamie.
Okay, let's say both teams had Theo.
No regard.
Or just neither team has.
No regard.
It's an easier way to do that.
No regard. I think their defense is better. You take Jordan. You take Travis. I mean, those guys are good. Kendall Myers, a very good rusher. He's a decent receiver as well. So I mean, they have a good core, and I like the fact that they've stuck together. Before the spring season, Corey Pecker told me, he's like, "Oh, we're gonna get washed in Division A." I said, all you have to do is beat Braves. I go, that's basically what you have to do. Just hope you don't play them in the first round of the playoffs. They didn't. They made the finals, lost them in the finals. So it's like, at the end of the day, they underestimate themselves. Well, Corey does. Or the other guys, I think they overestimate themselves a little bit.
Corey, he'd still be Division 4 quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, with no jerseys. But overall, I think that they're a very capable team. And with one piece, I don't know who it's going to be, but they can do well in Division 1, I think.
We'll do some quick hits from some of the games we haven't covered yet. Just some quick impressions, if you can.
Impressions.
We have Sweat and Beers facing off against 2.5 Dans tonight. I hate doing predictions, so I'll make you do it.
Sweat and Beers, 2.5 Dans. I'm going to go Dans by 15.
Because?
I think Sweat and Beers, it depends on who's playing quarterback. If they have that young kid. I just don't know if they're going to be able to know what to do against Joey's offense. A lot of people that... play against Joey, if they don't play against them often, they don't really know. Trick, play 4-1, it usually works. But I just don't know if they're going to be able to pick up what he has to do. Look what he did to Bonnie Assad with 5 guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So just to say. So I think I'm going to go
Joey.
It was Danny, but you know
what we I mean. Called it on the show saying that Le Bonnie Assad would self-destruct in the game against 2.5 Dans. They're just a volatile group.
They're very volatile.
And Tier 2, Pigeon Squad. Losing to Levion Lavitaloca 51-38.
So we saw them at Milano's, actually, Levion Lavitaloca, after, and he was telling us how the game went. And Levy La Vida Loca. I mean, I think that, what's the quarterback's name? Cuirizier, whatever his last name is.
Zachary Cuvier, right?
Yeah. He's good. I like the way he throws a ball, man. He throws a cannon. And Mintan Tat. Is it him?
Nope.
That's the other one. I'm very racist.
Henry Dam.
Boom. Henry Dam. And then Saho, as much of a fan, as much of a fan I am of his, very good receiver. And who's the other one? Kevin Gauthier. Remember Big Daddy Diesel
Gauthier?
At least
the other one is not.
The other one is not needs. Another Asian fellow. I think I just really wanted to say Mintan Tat.
Like, they don't look alike at all. They're just the same height.
The same race.
Yes.
But Eagles going to lose his freaking mind. Honestly, I'm not surprised. They're a very good team. They have, they're very explosive. Alex Labonte, too, on the team. So he made the sickest catch last year. It was crazy with like two fingers jumping over somebody, caught him like that. I was freaked out.
One Speed Power beats Outlaws 34-30.
Surprised. Next.
Yeah, I was going to say not surprised. Go ahead.
That vaguely surprised me.
Why?
Well, because I know them. They're a good, talented team. Kevin Samuda is a matchup nightmare. But their defense was too easy to attack in the intermediate 10 to 12. We had 10 to 12 yards on every play if we wanted it.
Why were they back up so far? They're scared of your deep ball?
Well, Mike Adonis throwing.
Oh, okay.
Still though, same question.
Mike Adonis.
No, but
well, he threw like 250 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so do I every game. But that's because we attack the 10 to 12 yard. I mean, what we want to do is that, right? Like, what every quarterback wants is to be able to gain the most amount of yards with the safest possible throw. And
well, no, why would you do that?
Well, exactly. So the one-speed powers offense is based on stretch the field deep, look to attack short. And once they attack short, you attack over their heads.
You attack William Power.
Yeah, well, that too. But we also had Steve Sander in this game. Steve Sander.
I love that guy.
Super nice guy. But
nine catches, 134 yards, two touchdowns.
So the thing is, what I was explaining to them after the game, when I saw Stephen Harper saw it and Kevin Kasai, is that their defense is not aggressive enough and that they allow just too many things to happen. And you need to jump. You need to take risks and to cause turnovers. Because if you just try to go score for score with teams, you're going to lose games.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that's kind of what their experience has been this season.
One thing I want to mention, Tier 3 Supernovas. I said that you've been flying under the radar for the media. If you won this week, that we were going to cover you, and you lost. So
no
that
coverage.
Is all.
So
that was literally the next thing I was going to mention. I will not. Dreambreakers beat Los Bandidos 41-25.
So this game, I mean, When you're scoring this many points on Los Bandidos, I mean, Los Bandidos, they're pretty known for their defense. I'm trying to load up the stats here.
Yeah. Jermaine being one of the premier defenders in low division.
Exactly. They're known for their defense. So, I mean, it's impressive enough as it is. Overall, great game. I mean, I didn't get a chance to watch it, but just looking at the line, very efficient, man. Very efficient. And that's what FPF is about. Some people, they get it wrong. Use the Joey Taylor, man. Vinny Golano learned from Joey Taylor. Mm-hmm. Just dump the ball and make sure the guy catches it. That's all that matters. And that's what they did. You keep it simple. You end up popping six touchdowns against a really good defense.
EZW beat Grabrouge 33-19.
So EZW, probably one of the better teams I've seen. And when you talk about like pound for pound, I think they're probably the best team in FPF.
Yeah, because they don't have a lot of fat guys.
No, I mean pound for pound in terms of the division. That
yes,
they're.
That's it.
And they have zero fat guys.
Yeah, which helps.
Yeah, so whereas opposed to Free Vinny, we have two fat guys.
Yeah. Two? Or Wispy Power, where we're all fat guys. Goddamn Italians.
So EZW, I think pound for pound, they're probably one of the better teams in FPF for sure. So I'm not surprised. You know, I'm not maybe a little bit slow on the touchdowns. Jeremy White's the quarterback over there, right?
Jeremy White is the quarterback.
Yeah, Jeremy White's a very good player. I would 100% take him on any maybe Division II team. Yeah. Not as their quarterback, as like a defender and receiver.
I think he's to me a Division III capable quarterback.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that at all. If he has a decent defense, just to give him the ball back enough times.
To be honest, the defense hasn't even been that great.
It's no,
just,
it hasn't.
Been scoring.
Yeah, that's it.
And he has five guys that he can attack with at all times. Perhaps the biggest surprise, we talked about some surprising games. Hawks beating Broken Ankles 33-0. Terry, your former teammate, the guy used to throw balls to, and now throwing the ball himself, Yakub Talamak, 15 for 20, 175 yards, 5 touchdowns.
So Yakub went nuts this game, and it was good. I mean, it was fun to watch. I watched the game, and I checked the schedule, and I saw that he was playing before me, so I went in a little bit early to watch. And him and Richie have a good thing going over there. I think Yakub is very good quarterback, and if with, like I've said it, it's the third time I say it today, with the right weapons, I think he could do damage. They're probably going to go to Division 4 next year, but for this year, they just took over, man, that game. it seemed like the other team was doing well, and then I would look at the score, and they would just never score until they finally got two touchdowns in the second half.
It just seems bizarre. Broken ankles have been strong. Mm-hmm. Hawks have struggled. Broken ankles, you know, with Jonathan Lemieux starting the game, throwing two interceptions, Matt Thibault taking over, not doing much better himself.
Yeah.
I would have thought, you know, if Hawks managed to win the game, it would be a high-scoring affair, not a complete blowout.
Yakub is, to me, the best player in this division, like overall talent-wise. Him, you could throw him in there with maybe Jeremy White.
Theo Levine would.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, no, but overall, I think just talent-wise, a little bias, obviously, there because I've played with him and I know him well enough. But he can pretty much do whatever he wants on the field. You know.
Trailer Park Boys, Ty Fresh Lungs.
I hate ties, man. I hate ties more than losses. Just go for two.
Wearing them or?
I mean.
Dad jokes.
You're such a loser. So, yeah, I hate ties more than losses. I mean, if you can, just go for two sometimes. It helps.
Yeah. And this thing is, if you're having trouble converting, some teams have started just going for two all the time, even without mobile quarterbacks, because they have more space to operate.
Of course. If you throw those corners really well, which I think they do, you know, do it. I mean, hit a corner from your snapper if your snapper's fast enough. Me and Pease aren't doing any corners anytime soon. So,
but I caught one in my FBF career.
I actually caught one touchdown this week. Yeah. And I was surprised he actually threw the ball.
Slow developing.
Very slow. I had to cut under GM, and I was like, but overall, you know, you just go for two sometimes, man. You change up the pace of the game that way.
Okay, so we got to the part of the show now where Eagle interrupts me and tells me we're going to do something instead of the thing that I'm transitioning.
No, I just wanted to, cause we didn't I just wanted to mention, because it's a kind of a big deal, Llama's Pajamas won 38-19 over
Yamas.
The only thing I want to mention is from a stat line perspective that up until this point, Llama's Pajamas had scored 15 points as our highest score throughout the entire season. So yeah, putting up 38 is double and a half, basically, what they'd previously put up. Olivier Godal, 5 touchdowns in this game. Previous to that, he had only put up 2 against replacements, 1 on Fresh Lungs, 1 on Trailer Park Boys, and big old zeros on all the other games. So I don't know what happened in this game, but he played really well.
He's actually interesting. Olivier Godal throws the ball insanely hard all the time.
Isn't it Llamas and Pajamas?
I thought it was Llamas Pyjamas. I thought it was a soft J. You know, it's like jogging.
He's like jogging.
I keep thinking it's Bananas and Pajamas, and I
I've already made that joke
head.
Several times in my article.
I don't read it.
Grandma's.
I know. I can tell. Eagle, you have the newest breakdowns for where we're at heading into the next round, right?
Yes, exactly. And this is still pending results from this week, because we have 3 games today. So the things are going to change. Also, next week we have week 9, which is 10 more games. So 7 on Monday, 3 on the Thursday, which is the recap from the Labor Day games that basically didn't get played.
Week 1.
So most people have all their games played for the year. So you have 8 games in the regular season. Some are still outstanding. Mm-hmm. So basically,
we'll see if the games are outstanding.
Yeah, exactly. So this is still not final in any way, shape, or form. But basically, the ordering is, well, if you're looking at the screen, you're going to see it. To read it out loud.
We should get our own screen, by the way. It's there.
This might be boring radio, but Braves, All-Stars, STL, hashtag NR, Conspiracy, Lockstars, you guys are currently the highest grouping.
So in my article, Terry, I talked about how Keyport Lockstars kind of screwed themselves. Do you think they go with Rod Mashtub as quarterback for the playoffs?
Can they?
Yes. Why not?
What's the cap? The cap,
no cap in
tier. The cap is going to be specific to whatever you registered with. So if you ended up in tier 1 and you get demoted to tier 2, so example, Sweat and Beers and Free Vinny, you keep your tier 1 quarterback cap and your team cap, so you don't have to downplay.
Okay. Well, I mean,
otherwise, it wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, literally, oh, you forfeit.
So, no, but last year, exactly, you can't play. Yeah, you can't play. Last year, it was you can add 10 to your score. Now you have the cap of the division that you can't go
over.
Okay,
yes.
That's what it was. Do they go Rod Mashtub? I wouldn't go Rod Mashtub. Rod Mashtub is a freaking good quarterback, a receiver.
Yes.
So you lose because you have a decent quarterback and a very good receiver, whereas you would have a very good receiver and a Jeff just sitting on the bench.
Well, Jeff can snap. And Jad plays
Why would Jeff snap at that point? I mean, you're losing Jad at snapper. Jad is not as good as he was before at slot. You know what I mean? So
fair.
So you lose Jad at snapper, where Jad makes his money at snapper. Jad as a slot is good, but he's not nowhere near as good as he is at center. And I think it takes away, because Rod, he needs either Theo or Jad to snap, and he'll switch it right away. He'll be like, "No, fuck this shit, Jeff, get the fuck out of here. We'll put Theo in there to snap." So I think you lose a little bit that way. And I think overall, to make a better roster, you keep Jeff, Rod, a receiver.
So just for a kind of sort of playoff preview, let's say the standings were to stay the same. Braves and All-Stars would get bye in the first week. STL would play Lockstars, and Hashtag NR would play Conspiracy.
That's fun.
That's a fun game.
That's a great bracket in general.
Yeah, overall. Conspiracy. I love the way it's figured out this year. Thank God we didn't do well.
Yeah, somebody had a really good idea how to reorder these brackets. Somebody.
Who was it? Anyone. Mo had a good idea.
Mo wanted to do like March Madness style and just re-rank everyone.
Everybody?
And blow the whole thing up. Yeah.
You know what?
We tried that last year spring for Div E to mixed results.
I found the playoffs more engaging.
They were more engaging, but
I liked it.
The home seed won every time, and any team that got demoted got screwed first.
So, you know what you do is, I had suggested this to Rob.
But if you remember Division 6,
oh, yeah, that was worse.
The first round. It was just
blowouts
every game. It was like I was there that day watching the games. It was like,
well, 6D because you have good guys and you have the developmental players, but like the top ones are obviously the ones that have played before. But I had a good idea that me and the sked builder actually had a good idea to tell Rob. We pitched it to him. He liked it. But of course, Rob is going to do it 6 years from now and say, hey, you know, we have a good idea.
What's going to happen is I'll just steal it.
Okay. So basically,
it louder.
You do what you do the Mokan, right? You do March Madness, but you don't do 1 to 16 on each side. You take all the odd seeds and you put them on one side, all the even seeds on the other side. So it kind of evens the playing field that way. So you're not going to have as many blowouts. So you'll have one play seven.
Madness, basically. More similar to March Madness.
Yeah,
more similar to March Madness. Top seeds.
That's it. But you're taking all the odd number. Let's say you go 1 to 16. 1, 3, 5, 7. 1, 3, 5, 7 is on one side, and then the rest are on the other side. So it.
You don't want to do that with even numbers. 2, 4, 6, 8.
Well, you do it on the other side.
Yeah.
2, like, 4.
Did you forget your even numbers?
6. Daniel Lazara.
So then we have our second grouping, which would be the Arsenal Bowl. So that would be, again, current standings. Banlieusard, 2HD, Lightweight, Dirty Dogs.
Ew.
And then from Tier 2, Diablos and Livion La Vida Loca jump up. So first round,
I like that, though.
Banlieusard and 2HD would get buys. Yeah. Lightweight would play Livion. And Dirty Dogs would play Diablos.
Dirty Dog.
Diablos
and Levion La Vida Loca win those games.
I don't think either one stands a chance against the top teams.
Yeah.
No. But I think they win the first. I think they win the first.
Yeah, game. You assume that 2.5 Dans are going to play against Banlieusard in the finals there, in the Arsenal Bowl.
Yeah,
that's a good bowl. I like that.
In the third grouping, the Wyeth Bowl.
I hate that it's named after current FF players. I wanted to name it after like famous bowls, like Bowling Bowl. Bowl of Super Bowl.
You name after guys that haven't played an FPF since like year one.
Well, people never played FPF.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we'll name it the
like Terry's Mom's Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. Eva Bowl.
So in this grouping, we would have Sweatin' Beers and Free Vinny. And then we have One Speed.
We get buys?
Wait.
Oh.
You get One Speed Power, SWAT, Junkyard Dogs, and Flamant Fou. However, the buys go to One Speed Power and SWAT.
Because they're the higher
so
seeds.
So Sweatin' Beers, yes. Sweatin' Beers would play Flamant Fou. And Free Vinny, hashtagless or not, would play Junkyard Dogs.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Again, not final.
We have a game this week, so
I'm
my
not looking right? forward to you guys. Like
losing to Junkyard Dogs.
You're the team I don't want in our tier.
We don't belong in that division as much as our team thinks. We look at it, like Nardone and Sean, they're always like, yeah, we're Division 3 team. Yeah, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. We're just playing like a Division 5
team. Division 60. We literally were in Division 6 a second ago.
I think we're a Division 2 team, you know, like maybe a mid-pack Division 2 team. I think we are, really.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I don't, like, it's a very strong team.
It is.
I think if you guys manage. Like, if you guys manage to get into Tier 2, into the Wyeth Bowl, is it Eagle?
No, yeah. Wyeth is Tier 3.
Wyeth is Tier 3.
Yeah.
Well, Arsenal is Tier 2.
Yeah. What's the first one?
If you...
What's the first bowl?
Ojea,
yeah.
So if you manage to get into the Wyeth Bowl, you guys will have failed your way into a championship.
Yeah.
It's the Sean Avram way of doing things.
The 10th out of 9.
Yeah.
In the Poliche Bowl, again, with the ratings, without the games and all that stuff, it would be Voodoo, Outlaws, Greendale Human Beings, and Lockdown. And then from Tier 3, Izzy W and Unknown Talent would jump up. This would slightly be changed because of the results that just happened. So Voodoo and Outlaws would get buys, and then GHB would play Unknown Talent, and Lockdown would play Izzy W.
I feel like Izzy W and Unknown Talent are the best two teams in that grouping.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, they're, to me, the favorites to win, even though they're coming to be promoted.
I think GHB is probably one of the...
GHB hasn't looked good. They've won two.
No,
games.
But they're a playoff team. That's what they do. They just make the finals. That's what they do all the time.
Maybe. I mean, we've seen Danny. Yeah. You know, but Danny will usually lose a game a season. So
it's true. Yeah, I guess. No, but I think yeah, EZW, GHB, the road goes through them. So I don't see any and unknown talent as well. But
in the Chouinard Bowl, you would have Pigeon Squad, Mean Machine from Tier 2, and then Dream Breakers, Los Bandidos, Warriors, and Broken Ankles from Tier 3. Dream Breakers and Bandidos get buys. So it would be Pigeon Squad versus Broken Ankles and Mean Machine versus Warriors.
I don't know. Oh,
I think Mean Machine spanks Warriors.
I don't know. Yeah, they've been bad. Easy interceptions,
what,
man.
But you know what? The Warriors have that style, man. They're just going to grind you out. I mean, they're ugly to watch, but it's whatever. They win. You know, they do well.
In the Roshdi Banabalkater Bowl, it's funny because in our spreadsheet, we have all the last names of people, and then we have Roshdi. X-Men and Avocados take the first two seeds with buys, and then we have Supernovas and Grabrouge. And then joining them from Tier 4 is going to be Zhangyi and Bruins.
Bruins, man. You know, I like them. I like them to win the first game and then maybe do something in the finals.
Supernovas, Bruins, and then Grabrouge, Zhangyi.
And Zhangyi's not equipped to handle the better, more experienced teams.
It's true. I mean, I spoke highly about Zhangyi, and I still will. I mean, I like playing against them a few years ago, and you know they're a fun team to play against. But I think the Bruins are just more athletic. They're more overall all over the place when it comes on the field. And that Grabrouge also, you know, very 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 good team. But I think Bruins they'll end up winning the Roshdi Bowl, whatever it is.
In the Keyshawn Thompson Bowl, we have Hawks and Bulldogs from Tier 3, and then Trojans, Rossos, McDo, and Replacements from Tier 4. Trojans and Rossos would get by, so you would have Hawks versus Replacements and Bulldogs versus McDo.
I'm drawing a blank. Who's on Rossos again?
Rossos is William Plant's team.
Whose team?
William Plant.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. So Hawks, I mean, we saw what they could do this week. Can they do it again? They did it against a good team in Broken Ankles. Who else? We had Rossos, and what was the other team? Sorry,
That's playing against Rossos, and well, Trojans is the one that
Trojans.
Gets
that's it. Yeah,
Trojans I like Trojans a lot.
Yeah, Trojans in this one. I think
they've been exciting.
And then in the Lapierre Bowl, as the last one, it's the remaining six. So Button H, Teen Stars, Fresh Lungs, Trailer Park Boys, Lammeth Pajamas, Amateur de Sac. So Button H, Teen Stars would get buys. Fresh Lungs would play Amateur de Sac. Trailer Park Boys would play Lammeth Pajamas.
Well, Amsterdam, are they going to score? Amateur de Sac haven't had a win.
I mean, Teen Stars are interesting because they actually lost. They lost two games by forfeit, and then a third game where they showed up at halftime, and almost won the game.
Should Paul be offended that this is his bowl? I don't get it.
Maybe
it's fun.
Now,
I think Paul was the only one that would be offended.
I had a bowl named after me last year, and I'm like, this is stupid.
Who won it?
I don't know.
Well, you should know these things.
Hopefully not from somewhere today.
We lost the Pachinard Bowl, and the only thing that made me happy about that loss is that I didn't have to sit, take a picture with Pachinard.
I had to cover all the games last year, and by the time it was done, I couldn't think at all.
What are words?
Yeah, seriously, I was done. My brain.
What is flag football?
We'll do that again.
So in that one, I mean, it's tough for the Paul Beer Bowl. I mean, I don't know how they're gonna end up scoring points, and it's just I can't see any of them. I can't picture them doing well. You know what I mean? Because they haven't done well all year.
So
that's why you can't picture it.
Exactly.
So to remind everyone, these are not final. So there's games from last night and game from today that have to be updated to update them based off the current breakdowns. And then next week, we have another 10 games for those who didn't play Labor Day. So these are not final. They are going to change. Don't lock in your thing and start game planning for that team because this will be different.
I had to mention this, though, for Free Vinny. Hashtag Free Vinny. Last year, Kenton, Holowak, GM, and myself were on the same team.
Free Vinny?
No, we played on, what were we called? Dans and Tams. Mm-hmm. Okay? We made the finals. And we lost in Tier 2 to Norgard. In the finals, we lost like 51-44 or something like that. This year, all four of us, same team, we got better players, quote unquote, and we have one win. Yeah. So who's the problem? I blame Vince Nardone.
I blame the quarterbacking of Sean Abram.
Okay, sure. Why not?
Also, probably Nardone, he's soft. There's also that.
Just as a last thing when it comes to the standings and games. So the playoff schedule will come out likely at the end of next week. So that means, and just to let everyone know, the first round of playoffs is the week of the 12th. So there's a half the games, let's say, on Monday, November 12th, and half the games on Thursday, November 15th. So Monday and Thursday, 12th and 15th, are the 2 days you need to look at. If you're in Tier 1 or 2, more likely your game's on the Monday. If you're in Tier 3 or 4, more likely your game is on the Thursday, from what I can see here. So that's likely. No, not guaranteed, but likely.
Also, pay attention to the site. And Facebook and wherever else we post.
Wherever them. Else.
So I do this thing when I go to like weddings where I pay attention to what the women are drinking to see who, to guess which ones are pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is the answer always no?
Well, no, you, because I've outed three of my friends when they were pregnant because like I noticed at a party they weren't drinking.
I'm just going to have a Shirley Temple.
It's like, what's
hold,
that?
Hold
water?
The whatever.
Vegetarian sushi. Pregnant.
I'll take a vodka soda. Hold the vodka.
All right. So that takes us to everyone's favorite segment, Games of the Week. We're also going to make predictions on the games that are currently happening, even though we predicted them last week, but Terry wasn't here. Terry, currently, who won between Replacements and Bruins?
Currently, who won?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say Bruins.
Eagle?
I have to check what I actually picked. I think I picked Bruins.
Doesn't matter who you pick. No one's keeping track.
Yes, I'm keeping track. I literally have a spreadsheet and I'm keeping track, which is funny because
you're the only one that works around here, man.
That's true. Fact.
The last 2 weeks, actually, people have picked on behalf of Simon and they've been terrible. So I'm catching up.
That's awesome.
Am I picking on behalf of Simon?
Yes.
So are you? You're keeping that track?
Oh yeah.
The Simon then on behalf the proxy?
No, okay. No. Simon gets all the picks.
Okay, he gets all the picks.
there was 1 week where when I was writing an article, I used to get picks from Terry. And Terry didn't submit them on time, so I purposely chose all the teams.
I remember that.
There were massive underdogs. And then, but I think you had a better
record. I think I had over 500 record.
And then in the coming week, McDo play Rossos.
I'm going to pick McDo.
I'm going to pick McDo.
Because?
I like the name.
That's a good reason.
Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, it's a toss-up for me.
Tonight, who won between, or who will win between Los Avocados and Warriors?
Los Avocados and Warriors?
Yeah.
I like Los Avocados. Nice uniforms. I'll take them. Right. Nice uniforms.
Eagle.
I have to find who I picked. I already picked these games.
I don't know. I also don't care.
Whatever. You don't have to pick them. It's fine.
Who did I pick?
All right. Grab Rouge versus X-Men.
X-Men. Give it to me, baby. Give me that gout.
I pick Warriors, by the way, in that
keep
one.
Keep drinking.
I'm going to send you a bit that Chris Rock does, and he says the gout got me. He goes to jail for stealing too many socks. So
please do send
I'm picking X-Men.
Bulldogs, Supernovas.
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 Broken Ankles, Los Bandidos.
Los Bandidos. Bounce back.
Los Bandidos. Let's do it.
Warriors, Hawks.
Hawks.
Hawks, my boy.
Los Avocados and the Dream Breakers.
Dream Breakers.
We just did Los Avocados. Oh, no, it's their second game. Los Avocados, we'll say it.
No,
we'll
Dream Breakers.
Dream Breakers. Dream Breaker.
Final answer.
Take Los Avocados.
Junkyard Dogs, Pigeon Squad.
Junkyard Dogs.
This is for next week. Junkyard Dogs.
Greendale Human Beings against SWAT.
GHB.
GHB.
I really hope
and
so.
And I think Gino loses his mind.
We need a bye more than like Jesus needs something Jesus needs.
I think Gino this game loses his skull. Like he gets tossed for 5 plays.
When there's 100%. No hair to lose, it can only be.
You know what's going to happen? Because I know how he plays and everything. He's going to try and go through one of the GHB receivers to get to the ball, like to get to McPhee, for example.
Yeah.
And he's going to get so upset.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, fuck. I love it. I love watching games explode.
Who will win in half an hour between Sweat and Beers and 2HD?
2HD. Yeah, 2HD.
Eagle?
Hold on.
You picked 2HD for this one, obviously.
I picked 2HD.
Yeah. Of course.
You
got to pick our boys.
Sweat and Beers, Free Vinny.
Hey. Free Vinny.
If you guys lose this
remember,
game.
Remember, you have to pick as if you were what small.
If, the fix is in. What if we've already lost this game?
The fix
we
is
only
in.
Come to the game to kill an hour just to drink beers after.
I agree. But don't drink during this time.
Oh, okay. That's a good point. No, we'll win. We'll take it. We got our mojo back.
Would you pick that if you were Simo?
No, Simo would pick against us 100%. 100%. Just he wouldn't even know who the other team was. He would just pick against us because Simo sucks balls.
He does do. He does do that. Yeah. Which, I mean, we're not judging. It's 2018. He can do what he wants.
You what?
STL.
For the picking?
STL, hashtag NR.
It's a tough one, man. Full roster. I'm going to go NR.
Nah, you got to go STL.
Yeah? Yeah, it's a toss-up, man. Honestly, that spread is like 1.5.
to STL. You think it's that tight? You really think it's that tight?
1.5 to STL, I think.
Nah.
No? All right.
Nah, I wouldn't take those odds.
Okay, cool. I played against both of them.
Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I like the Fall Cup this year, the way it's made. It's a lot better than last year. I think it was a lot.
Last year's our first attempt.
Yeah,
right?
Of course, yeah. But it was a lot of good. There was a lot of negative feedback last year. A lot of players didn't want to play because they thought it was that way. Like Marty Friedman didn't register because he thought it was the same way last year. Mm. And he's like, oh, if I had known, I would have played. So I like the way Fall is this year, and I'm having a great time, even though we have a crappy ass team. But thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. It's a good.
Thanks for subbing, man.
It's good to come back on. I'm a huge fan of the show.
Fun. We haven't done this in years.
Let's just do it again.
Yeah.
What about the other thing we're going to do? Simo. What about the other thing we're going to do?
So announcement coming soon.
All right.
And waiting on graphics from our douchebag designer.
From our albino designer.
Final thoughts.
Yeah. Working on the ratings. Working on the rules committee for next year. Working on background stuff. Working on app. So new stuff coming up soon.
Am I too hated by the referees to get on the rules committee or the disciplinary committee?
Disciplinary committee, 100%. Because
the fact that I named our team.
I've also never been asked. So.
For obvious reasons.
Well, also because we're trying to avoid having actual staff on it, because then we're influenced. Course, yeah. So we're trying to keep it more of a disciplinary committee. But for rules committee, it's a combination of referees and players. So what we usually try and do is before the meeting, we ask players for feedback of like what rules you think we should take a look at.
Yeah.
And then some of them end up being more administrative. So like how does the, you know, the operations work with scorekeeper?
Yeah, yeah.
And all that
stuff.
I
actually suggested having a player on the rules committee to oversee the situation. So that way when there are
He'll be like the mediator, the scrum master or whatever.
Well, like just to be there, oversee the proceedings.
Scrum master.
I learned that word this week. Fitz. Your boy.
If there's a situation where a team freaks out and doesn't agree with a rule or how something was called, the player themselves can weigh in and just be like, look, I was at the meeting. This is why this. Because I've learned a whole new appreciation of the rules just by being on the rules committee.
Sorry, go ahead.
Other things. You could have just waited till the end.
I thought you were done.
I've lied a lot and said that I was on the rules committee to get a ref to go my way, and it never works.
Because they're at the meeting.
So a good example of that, did you guys know that if a quarterback, the ball is snapped at his feet, he can pick it up. But if it touches his hands, then falls to his feet,
of course,
he can't pick it up.
It has to be in the same. It has to be in the one motion.
Exactly, yeah. So some refs are very good at calling that and explaining it well. And at first I was like, nobody could do it. And they're like, no, because it touched his hands.
Don't get me started on the inconsistency in this league.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything else.
You can't, though.
All right, the inconsistency of the referee.
I like that we gave Eagle the forum to give his final thoughts, and all he did was talk about himself and things he's doing. Am I going for two? I will also talk about myself. I wanted to, as usual.
I don't know if I've set the example or if I'm just following his lead.
Seriously, I'm a terrible leader. I wanted to.
You know it's bad when he has to start the outro twice.
I want to reach out and thank everyone who posted on my Facebook and sent me a message and said, wish me happy birthday.
You're old.
It's a lot of people from FPF. It's a really touching feeling, and for people to take their time out of their day to reach out to me. I am trying to get through all the messages and all the Facebook posts. If I forget you, it's because I don't like you.
You're old.
Thank you, Terry.
Are you 37 now?
36.
Fuck.
Still can't be covered. Thank you all for letting me be myself.